Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Malka Bat Allegra, Shifra Bat Sara, Shlomo Ben Sara, Dorit Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Rachel, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harav Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harav Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Barry Hoffman, Dennis Shore, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman and Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba. We got a lot to discuss, so let's move quickly on this program. We're going to be discussing the elections that are coming up on January 5th, the very important runoff for the U.S. Senate elections on January 5th in Georgia that will determine whether the Republicans or the Democrats control the U.S. Senate and whether or not Joe Biden can pass his radical left socialist agenda. And what JTF is going to be involved to a certain degree in those elections. We're going to explain that. And more importantly, that Israel has now announced that they're going to have the fourth Knesset elections in less than 2 years. And the date has been set. The Israeli Knesset has already set the date. It's March 23rd, 2021. March 23rd is less than 3 months from now, so JTF has a lot of work to do. We're going to try to influence the Israeli Knesset elections. We're going to explain that. We've got a big Hebrew advertising campaign that we're going to try to set in order to do this. We'll see if we can have an impact. We think it's possible we can have an impact, because if we can move just one or two Knesset seats in a certain direction, we might have an impact on the election. And we'll explain to you what our goal is in the election in Israel. And we're going to be discussing the fact that they're very slow in inoculating people with the vaccines that have come out. We now have two vaccines that have been proven effective, that have been proven to work, and the United States is very slow, and Israel is doing it much faster, way ahead of schedule, Baruch Hashem, thank God. Israel is now the fastest country per population in the world in terms of the speed with which they're inoculating their population. Baruch Hashem, Jewish brains at work again. Despite all the insanity in Israel and how crazy and self-hating they are, they still have Jewish brains. And we'll explain the difference between that and the United States, which is becoming a third world banana republic. But first, the elections that are coming up in Georgia on January 5th. Now, there are two Georgia pastors that are very nice, two very nice guys, who are pastors in Georgia and who are involved in the Republican campaign to get the two Republican candidates elected. You have two U.S. Senate seats up for election. You have a runoff in Georgia for two U.S. Senate seats. That will decide if the Republicans control the Senate or if the Democrats control the Senate. The Democrats already have a majority in the House. The Democrats, of course, now have the White House with the evil anti-Semites Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in the White House. So the question is, will the Republicans at least have a majority in the Senate in order to hopefully block as much of Biden's evil agenda as possible and put some control, some sort of brakes or control on this evil agenda? If not, then you're going to have a catastrophe. If the Democrats control the Senate, which will happen if the Democrats win these two Senate seats in the special Georgia runoff on January 5th, here's what's going to happen. You've got a Democrat majority now in both houses of Congress, God forbid, and the Democrats would make the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., the 51st state, which means two more U.S. senators for Washington, D.C., and congressmen for Washington, D.C. So that increases the Democrat advantage in the Senate and the House, and possibly ensures a Democrat majority in the Senate forever. And they would make Puerto Rico the 51st or 52nd state. Puerto Rico and the Washington, D.C. would both become states. So you'd have 52 states in the U.S. instead of 50. And that would mean four more left-wing Democrat U.S. senators for eternity. And since the Senate is very closely divided now, you give four more senators to the Democrats, that means the Democrats will always have a majority in the Senate. And it means the Democrats will probably always have a majority even in the House, because the Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. will also get congressmen, will also get House seats. So it'll be a catastrophe. D.C. and Puerto Rico will become states. And the radical agenda that the Biden-Harris administration is proposing in terms of, for us, the most disastrous things are that they want to pressure Israel to commit national suicide, God forbid. They want a so-called Palestinian state, even though there are no Palestinians, there is no Palestine, there's never been a Palestinian people or state in history, never. It's a complete hoax. But they want to create a so-called Palestinian state in the heartland of biblical Israel, be national suicide, God forbid. And, of course, if they have power to pursue their agenda, if they're strong enough to pursue their agenda, that's bad for Israel. That puts more pressure on Israel. So it would be bad for Israel. And then the Iran agreement, the Iran nuclear agreement, they want to once again begin the horrific Obama-Iran nuclear agreement, which enables Iran to build an arsenal of nuclear bombs that create a tremendous risk of a nuclear holocaust. If you allow the Iranian Muslim Nazi terrorist regime to be armed with nuclear bombs, that creates a very serious risk of a nuclear holocaust. There will also be a nuclear arms race in the Middle East. Every Arab country, every Muslim country will want to develop nuclear bombs in response to what Iran is doing. They're already doing it now, but it would be there would be a tremendous increase in the desire of countries like Saudi Arabia and all these other countries, Egypt and Turkey and all these other countries. All these other Muslim countries would want to get nuclear bombs. You'd have an absolute catastrophe. There would be a tremendous danger of a nuclear holocaust if that happens. And that is what Biden wants to pursue. And in addition to that, in the United States, of course, their policies are catastrophic. Of course, they want to drastically raise taxes. Catastrophic policies, absolutely destructive policies that will destroy the economy and sink the economy in the United States and in the whole world. Because if the U.S. economy goes down, it affects the world economy in a dramatic way. Just disastrous. So we want the Republican candidates in the U.S. Senate race in Georgia to win. Republican candidates are two incumbent U.S. senators running for re-election, David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. They must be re-elected to the U.S. Senate. Now, these two Georgia pastors, there are two Georgia pastors who are involved in the Republican effort to keep these Senate seats in the hands of David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. And these two Georgia pastors want to reproduce clips of our show here, of the show that we do here, of the program that we do here every week, and send it to Jewish voters in Georgia, because Jewish voters in Georgia, like everywhere else in the United States, unfortunately, vote overwhelmingly Democrat. And Israeli, by the way, Israeli Jews are not like that. Most Israeli Jews are overwhelmingly right-wing in the way they vote. They are right-wing Israeli Jews. Because the good Jews live in Israel. They live in their homeland. The bad Jews don't want to live in their own homeland. Of course, you're going to get the Drek. You're going to get the assimilated, intermarried Drek that lives outside of Israel. And so in Georgia, you have, as usual, you have the assimilated, intermarried Jews voting 70-80% Democrat. And they want to change that. These two Georgia pastors, they're trying different ways to try to influence Jewish voters in Georgia. I don't think that it's going to have a big impact. I already told them I don't think it's going to have a big impact. But they're going to try. They're going to send our stuff to thousands of Jewish voters. They're going to send clips. They're going to make clips of these shows that where we speak about the Georgia races, and they're going to send it to thousands of voters, Jewish voters in Georgia. Okay. Will it have an impact? I doubt it. And I've told them that I doubt it, but they're going to try. Okay. By the way, the race in Georgia is very close. Remember, there already was an election in Georgia. Why are there two runoffs on January 5th for the U.S. Senate? Because Georgia is the only state in the United States, the only one of the 50 states, where there is a runoff if no candidate gets a majority in the first election. So we had the election in November, right, when everybody voted for president and senators and congressmen. We had the election. And in Georgia, no candidate got a majority of the vote. You got to get 50% plus one vote, majority. If you don't, automatically it triggers a runoff between the two top candidates. The two candidates got the most votes. So the race in November was very, very close. I think it was 50-49%, and for both races, so very, very close. And it's going to be very, very close, according to the polls. Again, Georgia's almost evenly divided. And I just want to say something. This is amazing that Georgia is now almost 50-50, because the two Democrat candidates are radical left socialist anti-Semites. The sickest situation. This is, you would expect to see these types of radical left candidates in New York City or San Francisco. This is in Georgia. Georgia, which in 1964 was one of only six states or five states in the U.S. to vote for Barry Goldwater for president. That's how conservative Georgia was. Georgia, which in 1968 voted for George Wallace for president, an independent running as a segregationist. And Georgia voted overwhelmingly for George Wallace in 1968 in the presidential election. For president, Richard Nixon and Hubert Humphrey were the two major party candidates. Wallace ran as an independent third-party candidate. He overwhelmingly won Georgia. That's how conservative and right-wing Georgia was. Georgia was a segregationist state and a segregated. It was segregated. It was one of the most conservative parts of the country by far. And now, it's almost 50% radical left. I mean, this is what has happened to the United States. This is how the country has changed because of demographic changes and all of the other crazy brainwashing that has taken place. This is what has happened to the United States. So the future doesn't look very good because it's continuing to go in that direction. David Perdue, the Republican, is running against John Ossoff, a self-hating Jew, a Judenrat capo, evil self-hating Jew who marches with Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter, by the way, officially in the organization, call for the destruction of Israel, the destruction of the state of Israel. I mean, these black Nazis want genocide against the Jewish people. These are black Nazis. And John Ossoff, the Jew, marches with them, and he marches with Black Lives Matter. He goes to their demonstrations and marches with them and supports them and 100% supports their agenda, 100% supports them. This is the type of subhuman Judenrat filth that's running for the Senate. So have this self-hating Jewish Judenrat filth in the Senate would be terrible. It would be a disaster. So of course we support David Perdue. And Kelly Loeffler, the Republican, she's running against a black Nazi named Raphael Warnock. Raphael Warnock is a so-called minister. He's a minister like I'm a minister. So-called minister with a so-called church. And Warnock openly supports the black Hitler Louis Farrakhan. And when I say black Hitler Louis Farrakhan, let's remember something. Here's what Farrakhan said. He was making statements calling for another Holocaust, saying the Jews deserve to be exterminated in a Holocaust, that the whole white race should be exterminated. So Jewish leaders were comparing him to Hitler's. Jewish leaders said he speaks just like Hitler. He sounds like Hitler. So here's what Farrakhan said in response to that, and I quote, "I like when the Jews call Farrakhan Hitler. Hitler was a great man. Hitler was a very great man," unquote. Okay? This is the type of subhuman guerrilla filth that is supported by all the black leadership. All the NAACP and the National Urban League and all the black churches and all. They all went to his million-man march. He had a million-man march with a million blacks going to a march where he was preaching Nazism. And Raphael Warnock, the Democrat candidate for the U.S. Senate in Georgia, openly supports him. Openly. And Raphael Warnock openly supports Jeremiah Wright. Remember Jeremiah Wright? He said, "God damn America." You remember that? You remember that? Cursing America, cursing the Jews, cursing Israel, cursing all whites. You remember all of that? Raphael Warnock invited Jeremiah Wright to speak at his church and gave him awards and praised him. This is the guy who's going to be the next U.S. Senator from the state of Georgia. According to the polls, it's very close. And by the way, it was very close in November. He almost won in November. And again, it's very, very close. We know that from the November election that it really is very, very close. And the polls show that it's very, very close again. Raphael Warnick openly calls for the destruction of Israel. He says that Israel is an apartheid state, and he openly calls for the destruction of Israel. And he's raising tens of millions of dollars from wealthy Jewish donors. They're voting for their own destruction, the destruction of their own people. All of these Jews, they can't wait. They can't wait to build the gas chambers and the ovens for the Jews in the next Holocaust. Or in the case of Israel, they want all the Jews to be pushed into the sea, as the Arabs promised to do for over 100 years. Now they say they're going to push the Jews into the sea and finish Hitler's job. They can't wait to push the Jews into the sea and exterminate millions of their own people. I mean, where do you get such a sick people? How can any Jew vote for these two creatures who are running as the Democrats in this race? For John Ossoff or Raphael Warnick, Yimach Shmam v'zichram Shem Reshaim Yerkav, may their names and memories be obliterated, may the name of the wicked rot. And you Jews, after you hear this, if you continue to support them and continue to vote for them, you should also face the ultimate punishment, ba'olam hazeh v'gam ba'olam haba, in this world and in the next world. Your enemies of your own people, your anti-Semites, your enemies of your own people, you're a fifth column. You deserve the worst, and you're more dangerous. You Jews that support this filth, you are more dangerous than the worst Gentile anti-Semites. A Jewish anti-Semite is much more dangerous than 10 Gentile anti-Semites. You're the enemy from within. And you're the majority of Jews in America. The majority of Jews in America are like this. The majority of Jews in Georgia are like this. But we appeal to any Jew who has an ounce of sanity not to do this. So, that's the election in Georgia. They're going to mail clips. These two pastors are going to mail clips of our programs. In other words, they're going to take parts of it that they think might be effective and send this to Jewish voters. I hope it has an effect. I'm not particularly optimistic that it will, but I don't think it's going to have any big impact. But anyway, and you know, it's a risk because our program is very controversial. It could backfire too. You know, it could also. I don't know. I told them that. They said they know that, but they said we don't have much to lose because the Jews are voting overwhelmingly against the Republicans anyway in Georgia. So they don't have that much to lose. So. They're going to try it. Okay, let's hope it succeeds. Let's hope it, and let's hope, God willing, Bezrat Hashem, let's hope the two Republicans win the race on January 5th in Georgia. Now, the Israeli elections, which is much more important. Elections are now set for March 23rd, which is, again, less than 3 months from now. And this is, again, the fourth Israeli Knesset elections in less than two years. JTF might be able to influence the election because our goal now is going to be to get Benjamin Netanyahu out of office. He is doing so much harm. He's got to go. He must go. His main opponent, Gideon Sa'ar, is a very bad guy, and I have plenty of reason to be against Gideon Sa'ar myself, because he actually did something very bad to me personally. He was the Sar HaPnim, the interior minister in Israel. He was one of the interior ministers, and he rejected my Aliyah request. He was one of those who refused to grant me the right to live in Israel. He refused to grant me the right to go to Israel. The same Israel, by the way, that has millions of Arab Nazis that openly call for the destruction of Israel and want to destroy the Jewish people, they're allowed to go around and they get endless subsidies from all the Jewish taxpayers and all the Jewish voters. And you know, they murder Jews, they rape Jews, they call for the destruction of Jews, they pray in their mosques, in their Juma prayers every Friday for the destruction of the Jewish people. And they're allowed to roam around freely. Open Hamas terrorists roam around freely in the land of Israel. Open, you have Arab Muslim Nazi terrorists serving in the Israeli Knesset, in the Israeli parliament. People who support terrorist attacks and mass and murder of Jews and the destruction of Israel openly serving in the... That's something, even in the United States, You don't have people who openly say, I agree with 9/11 and I agree with the Muslim terrorists who blew up, who murdered the people on 9/11 and I want the destruction of the United States. You don't have people openly saying that in the U.S. Senate or in the U.S. Congress. You might have, I do think, by the way, that the Black Caucus and some of these other groups and AOC and the so-called squad, I think they do think like that. They are like that. And Schmuck Schumer and animals like that are willing to play along with them. But in Israel, in the Israeli Knesset, in the Israeli parliament, they openly call for the destruction of Israel and openly support Arab terrorist organizations like Hamas and Hezbollah and Fatah, openly. And they're allowed to sit and serve in the Knesset. But our beloved Rabbi Harav Meir David Kahana Zecher Tzadik VeKadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo, may God immortalize the name of this great saint. May God avenge his blood. Our beloved Rabbi Meir Kahana, he was barred and banned from running for the Knesset, and his movement was called illegal, and he was barred from running for the Knesset by the same Israeli politicians and Israeli Supreme Court and the Likud and the so-called the phony right. They all banned him. They all voted to ban him while allowing the Arab terrorists to continue to serve in the Knesset. That's what we have in Israel today. So, of course, being a follower of Rabbi Kahana, I'm also banned from going there. 24 years already, over 24 years, 24 and a half years, I'm trying to go there. And one of the interior minister, he's the one that you go to when you want to, when you apply. If you have a problem with Aliyah, you go to the interior minister. And the interior minister at the time, one of the interior ministers, was Gideon Sa'ar, who is now the main opponent for Netanyahu in these upcoming elections. And Moshe Feiglin, who at that time was a member of the Knesset, he deserves credit for this, he deserves to be praised for this, and we repaid him a million times over, because we did videos for him when he ran for the Knesset. Moshe Feiglin, he didn't win, but we did videos when he ran for the Knesset. We're no longer supporting him, by the way, because now he supports Netanyahu. He betrayed us by supporting Netanyahu. But at the time, he was against Netanyahu, and he ran for the Knesset, and he was saying good things, and he helped me. He was the only one who helped me. He took my letter. I had a letter where I explained the situation. I appealed to the interior minister to let me make Aliyah, and he took my letter and personally handed this letter to Gideon Sa'ar, personally gave it to him and said, please help him. This is someone I know. Please help him get in. He deserves to get in. Please look at this and help him. And Gideon Sa'ar took the letter and said he would look at it. He said he was unfamiliar with the case, but he would look at it. So Moshe Feiglin, the Knesset member, personally handed him this letter to get him to do something in this complete miscarriage of justice. And Gideon Sa'ar didn't do it. Another filthy low-life opportunist. But in any event, despite that, there must be a change. There must be a change. Netanyahu must go, because the damage he is doing is unbelievable. He has for 11 years frozen all Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. They have tremendous population growth there because they have so many babies, so there are over 500,000 Jews there now. And there are over 100,000 Jews beyond the wall. There's a wall that they built to cut off part of Israel from the so-called Palestinian state that Netanyahu wants to create, God forbid, so-called Palestinian terrorist state that he wants to create, God forbid. He wants to surrender biblical Israel and create a so-called Palestinian state. So he built a wall, and the Jews that are on the other side of the wall, they're on the part of the wall that is supposed to be surrendered. There are about 100,000 Jews living there. We need to drastically increase that number of Jews if we're going to prevent the creation of a Palestinian state. But Netanyahu has frozen and frustrated all Jewish attempts to do additional building. The population there is growing because they have so many babies, but many more Jews want to move there. And if we had many more Jews moving there, in the past 11 years, if Netanyahu had allowed all the Jews who want to move there to do so, and had allowed the building to take place that has to take place, we would have tripled the population by now, and there would be very little possibility of creating a so-called Palestinian state. But Netanyahu wants a so-called Palestinian state. That's why he accepted the suicidal Trump plan, which includes the creation of a Palestinian state, the Trump plan and the Trump map would be national suicide for Israel. And Netanyahu supported that. He embraced it and supported it enthusiastically. And Naftali Bennett, another phony right candidate running, he also supported and embraced the Trump suicide plan. They got to go. Bennett, Netanyahu, that whole group, that Likud, they've got to go. Over 90% of the surrenders of Jewish land since the 1967 Six-Day War have taken place when you had the so-called right-wing Likud governments in power, not the left-wing governments. The left-wing governments want to give up the land. They want to also create a so-called Palestinian state. And remember, there is no Palestine. There are no Palestinians. That's why I say so-called. But the left, when the left is in power, they also want to create a Palestinian state, but they're unable to. Because when they propose these concessions, everyone in Israel gets nervous and says, "Ooh, that's crazy. That's suicidal. Why are you doing this?" They can't do it. They can't sell it. When they're in power, they cannot sell national suicide plans to the Israeli people. But when a so-called right-wing prime minister like Netanyahu proposes it, these stupid Jews in Israel say, "Oh, if he's saying it, it must be okay. It probably isn't dangerous. It must be okay." And they will accept it. So the phony right is worse than the left, is worse than the open left in Israel. Worse. They're both terrible. They're both terrible, but the phony right is even worse, and Netanyahu must go. There's a danger, tremendous danger to Israel's survival from him. He must go. He is preventing the building of Jewish communities in Israel. He's allowing the Arabs to illegally build all over Israel. He, because of him and because of the Likud, Israel gave up the Sinai when Menachem Begin was prime minister, and hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens, African Muslims from Africa. Can you imagine? Drek from Africa came pouring into Israel. They now are taking over Tel Aviv and taking over Israeli cities. Hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens from Africa. They came pouring through the Sinai. Egypt, which Israel has a so-called peace treaty with. Peace treaty. There's a saying, you know, in Israel they have a saying. When you shake hands with a Muslim, you've got to count your fingers. What did the Egyptian snakes do? Egyptian Nazi snakes, they sent hundreds of thousands of Africans, they sent them through the Sinai, they welcomed them into Egypt and then said, go to Israel, you'll get all types of benefits from these crazy Yahudim, from these crazy Jews. Yahudim is in Arabic, from these crazy Jews. And so they sent them through the Sinai. If Israel had kept the Sinai, if Israel had not surrendered the Sinai and had listened to our beloved Rabbi Meir Kahana, Zatzal, and had kept the entire Sinai, we wouldn't have had hundreds of thousands of black Muslims that are now raping and murdering and causing crime all over Israel. They would not be in Israel now. Israel would be paradise. It would be Gan Eden. It would be like paradise. Every Israeli concession, every Israeli surrender, every Israeli retreat, every Israeli gesture always leads to more war and more bloodshed and more disasters and more calamities for the Jewish people. Always. And Netanyahu and the Likud, they're the ones that bring this on. They're the ones that are able to sell this to the Israeli people. They're the ones that are able to make this kosher, quote-unquote, in the eyes of stupid Israelis. And most Israelis, like most Jews in our generation, unfortunately, are stupid when it comes to survival. When it comes to their survival, they're stupid. They're brilliant when it comes to inventing vaccines. They're brilliant when it comes to medicine and art and literature and science. I mean, the most brilliant, nobody comes close to them. But when it comes to their own survival, they are the dumbest people in the world. And it is the ultimate ness. It is the ultimate ness in Hebrew is miracle. It is the ultimate ness from Hashem, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is the ultimate ness that the Jewish people have survived being so stupid when it comes to their own survival. Now, so we want Netanyahu to go. In Israel, you vote for the parties. And so, how many seats will the Likud get with the other parties? There are 120 seats in the Israeli Knesset. If we can just swing one or two seats away from the Likud block, away from Netanyahu's block, over to the other side, if the election's close enough, that could make the difference. You never know. And JTF potentially can with its advertising campaign. One or two seats out of 120 seats, you figure 1% of the vote. If we can swing 1% of the vote the other direction. So we have a big advertising campaign where we're explaining to people why the phony right is worse than the left. We're telling right-wing voters, you must not vote for Netanyahu. You must not vote for Likud. They are the worst thing for the land of Israel, for the settlements. The worst thing in terms of destroying Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. Netanyahu speaks about it all the time. And what is he doing about it? He can easily destroy it militarily. He does nothing. And it's not going to happen under him. He must go. He must go. He's a disaster on Iran, disaster on settlements, disaster on Jewish identity, disaster on every Jewish issue that's important. He is a catastrophe. He's got to go. And so, even though Gideon Sa'ar was bad for me, Gideon Sa'ar refused to let me into Israel when Moshe Feiglin, as a Knesset member, presented my letter to him. If he becomes prime minister, again, he will be a bad leader. All of the leaders in Israel are bad. But we got to try to have a change. We've got to change the direction. Netanyahu is so bad. Hopefully there'll be some change, and maybe he'll allow some building, and maybe, because with Netanyahu, we already know that we're just getting the worst of everything. With Sa'ar, it's going to be bad, but we don't know if he's going to be as bad as Netanyahu has been. Netanyahu has been very bad. Very bad. He succeeded for 11 years in preventing building, even in Jerusalem, Israel's capital. Left-wing governments never did this. There was never a complete building freeze in Judea, Samaria, or Jerusalem. Never. Only under Netanyahu. So he must go. And we have a campaign now to influence right-wing voters. Of course, we're attacking Netanyahu from the right. And we're saying from the right, you must not vote for him under any circumstances. We're not telling people who to vote for because, frankly, we don't have a horse in this race. We don't support any of the parties. But we do know who we're against. We're telling people not to vote. Not to vote for Likud. And not to vote for Naftali Bennett and the so-called Yamina party. Those two parties are the worst. They are the worst. They must go. Naftali Bennett will join with Netanyahu after the election. His party will join with them immediately once the election's over. So voting for him is like voting for the Likud. And so we may be able to influence the election. I don't know. Because if we reach tens of thousands of voters with our message, who knows? Who knows? Maybe we will be able to have some sort of impact. We're going to try. We're going to try our best. I don't know if it's going to have an influence, and I don't know what's going to happen in the election. I don't know. But we're going to try our best. And God willing, Bezrat Hashem, we need your support, and we need your prayers. We need your prayers. Please pray to Hashem that we succeed. Pray to Hashem that JTF's campaign succeeds in waking the people of Israel up and waking as many Jews up as possible. But we have to pray to Hashem to help us. And we're not just praying, we're doing. You can't just pray, you got to do. We're trying to influence them, and we're reaching them with our videos. So let's hope that this the message somehow gets across. Let's just hope so. And according to the polls in Israel, by the way, the election in Israel is very close. So, again, if it's very close and we move one or two seats, you never know. We could be changing things. You never know. And we're not going to know, by the way, even after the election, if we were the ones who actually changed things. We're not going to... I don't know if we're going to be... Maybe there'll be some way for us to know. I don't know. But we will try our best. We're going to try our best. One more subject we want to speak about. The vaccines. Jewish scientists, Jewish brains, Jewish companies, and Jewish CEOs, and Jewish scientists invented two vaccines, one for Moderna and one for Pfizer, that give new hope to humanity to get rid of this terrible, terrible plague, this terrible virus COVID virus that has had such a horrific impact on the Western world, on Western culture, on the whole world, and on all of society, and on the world economy. In Israel, there have been over 200, there were over 200,000 inoculations in the first week. Over 200,000 inoculations in the first week in Israel. For a country the size of Israel, that's a very impressive number. And their goal is to have 100,000 inoculations every day in Israel. That's their goal. They want to build it up until they have 100,000 a day. If they did 100,000 a day, within like 2 or 3 months, they'd have the whole country inoculated. Bezrat Hashem, God willing. They are now number one in the world. Of all countries in the world, of over 200 countries in the world, Israel's number one, by far, in terms of the pace of inoculations. They're way ahead of everyone else. Why? Because they're paying these companies more money for each dose. They offered them more money for each dose. The Israelis are paying $30 a dose, whereas the Europeans, the United States, are paying like $15 a dose. So the Israelis basically are paying double what everybody else is paying. So you're saying, oh, that's stupid. Why are they wasting money? They're paying double. You know, why'd they offer them double the amount to ensure that they get all the doses and get everything they need? That was not the first thing they did. It was worth it. It's worth it. Do you know how much it costs to close down the economy and do all the other crazy things that this virus causes and all the restrictions and all the problems? It is worth it. Whatever you pay for the extra doses, that's nothing. That's a tiny fraction of the cost to the economy and to society and to the nation's society that you have with this thing going on until this thing is resolved. So of course it's worth it. Of course it's worth it. So that was very smart what Israel did. Whereas Trump, he wanted to save money. Such a jerk. Such an orange jerk. He wanted to save money. So he bargained them down. And so the United States now is short on the number of inoculations. They just had to cut a new deal with Pfizer. Now they're paying a little bit more. But he wanted to bargain. He thought he's being a smart businessman. You know, penny wise and pound foolish. Very foolish. And so the United States was like 100 million doses short. And they just had to make a new deal with Pfizer, and they're trying to make it up now. Not just that. But it's not just that. It's even once you get the doses and once you get everything that you need. As bad as Israel is, it's a socialist country and there are a lot of problems, and the Jews that run the country are nuts, and the Jews in general in this generation, unfortunately, are insane. But they're still Am HaNivchar. They're still the chosen people. They're still brilliant people with Jewish brains. And so in the end, you still have a lot of Jewish doctors and Jewish nurses and Jewish companies in Israel. And so they're doing it more efficiently than everybody else. You still have Jewish brains. Whereas in the United States, what do you have in the United States? The United States, everything has to be politically correct. So in the CDC, you have Turkish Muslims. And they put people in charge. They put Schwarzes in charge, who, you know, affirmative action Schwarzes with low IQs, they're put in charge because you have to, after all. And according to Hollywood, according to the media, they're the big geniuses now. They're put in charge. And what are the consequences? And look at the medical industry and the healthcare industry. Look at the percentage of third world people and of affirmative action people that are involved in medical and in the medical industry. And then in the United States, you have stores like CVS and Walgreens and places like that that are going to be in Walmart. They're going to be doing the inoculations, right? Who are their employees and who are their managers? And because everything has to be affirmative action and politically correct. If you do that, you're going to have low IQ morons in charge. You could have brilliant Jewish scientists inventing vaccines for you, but you can't get them out to the people because it takes you a long time to get it out because there are morons in charge, so it's going much slower than they anticipated. They were hoping to get 20 million people fully inoculated with both doses by the end of the year. That was their goal, which was a very realistic goal in the United States if they had had people with half a brain running things. And Trump, by the way, has not improved anything in terms of all of this. He supports affirmative action. His companies are all affirmative action companies and do affirmative action hiring. And he has always said that he supports affirmative action. Trump has not improved anything in this area. Nothing. By the way, did Trump build the wall? Remember he said, I'm going to build a big, beautiful wall. Big, beautiful wall all across the Mexican border. Mexico's going to pay for it. Not only did Mexico pay for it, there is no wall. There's no wall. Most of the Mexican border, there's no wall. Nothing. And where he did build, it's a fence. In most cases, it's just the fence, which is what we had under Obama. So you could have voted for Obama and gotten the fence. It's, you know, complete farce. A complete farce. They're calling the fence a wall. Then Obama then could have said that he built a wall. This is such a farce. In the end, there is no real change. He has not effectuated any positive change. He did not change the direction, the trajectory that is of America's decline. He didn't change. Trump did not turn it around. He didn't even try. He signed every big spending bill. He signed all the socialist bills. By the way, look at this. Look at Trump. They pass a terrible so-called stimulus bill, giving $600 a person to people, which is communism. All of a sudden, they're handing out cash to people, and what is this, for free? You know, they're creating massive debt, and the U.S. taxpayer is going to have to pay for this. This isn't going to come for free. Those of you that have jobs, that have income, or that have property, you're going to pay for this in the end. You're going to pay for this. The economy is going to pay for it. Your stocks are going to pay for it. The bonds are going to pay for it. And you're going to pay for it when it comes to tax time. You're going to be paying for all of this. This isn't free. And when I say the stocks, the stock market is going to hurt the stock market. It's going to hurt the bond market in the end. It's going to hurt stability in the economy. It's going to hurt everything. It's going to affect everything negatively. The huge, huge debt that's building up, this massive debt building up. And so they passed this terrible $600 per person stimulus bill now to give even more cash payments out to people and spend more trillions. And by the way, you know, Senator Ted Cruz was one of only six senators. He voted against it. If he had been president, the situation would be so much better. So much better. Ted Cruz voted against the stimulus plan. It takes a lot of political courage to do that because it's very popular to hand out cash, supposedly free cash to everybody, like a communist banana republic. Ted Cruz voted against it. Now, Trump said he may veto it now because he doesn't want $600 per person. He wants $2,000 per person. He wants to more than triple the amount that the U.S. is handing out to everybody. He wants to more than triple the expense. Put the U.S. into hock for trillions. Trillions more. In the end, the phony right sometimes is even worse than the left. I mean, It's just completely crazy. Trump ran against the Democrats because he said they're socialists. And they are. But Trump is a socialist. Trump is a socialist, and what Trump is proposing to do is socialism. Anyway, in the end, though, but by the way, in the end, so why do we support Republicans in the Senate, the runoff in Georgia? Because at least when Biden is in the White House, if you have a Republican Senate, because Biden is a Democrat, they may block some of his programs. They wouldn't block it if Trump was president. Trump was president, Republican Senate would not block it. But with Biden, a Democrat, in the White House, the Republicans, because he's a Democrat, may block his programs. So that's why it's so important that they win the Senate races on January 5th. So that's where we stand, a very important time for us, and a very important time for Israel, for the Jewish people, and for JTF, because we're going to try to have an impact on the elections with our advertising campaign. Let's hope and pray that we can do it, and let's hope and pray we can get Netanyahu out and maybe make a slight improvement in the situation in Israel. Maybe a slight improvement. Bezrat Hashem, God willing. That's where we stand now. Remember, if we work together as a team, we can change history. We can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.